Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Caporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. So somebody who knows a whole bunch about airplanes and the airport and everything else, his name is Stephen Gould. He is the director, the manager, the director, the airport, whatever they call it. I mean, they got only titles. Anyway, he's the guy who runs the show out of the Rock Hill, York County Airport, and he is with us today. So we might get around to the tour to York, but when you and I get together and start talking about that airport, who knows what's going to come out of it.
Yeah, we could be here the entire day, maybe the entire week, talking about this airport and airplanes.
Ooh, yeah. Speaking of airplanes, when they had the recent basketball event here with the
Adidas.
I remember
NCAA, and they actually are looking to add another tournament this summer,
too. I know they are. So a year ago, I guess it was a year ago, 2 years ago, when they first came here, I remember I got a call, come out here and see this, what's out here. Because there was 25, 30.
Yeah, 27 at, or there's 22 or 23 at one time on our ramp. But I think we had a total within like a 3 hour period of around 30 jets coming in and out. I got a, it's funny, I got a text from a local elected official, I won't say his name, and say, hey, you know, there's this jet that keeps flying over top where I'm at. Like, well, what's he doing? And I responded, I said, that's not the same one. That's a different one every time.
Well, anyway, this when you talk about tourism and what it does for the community, we all know about the hospitality tax and how people who come here for sporting events, you know, they buy food, they buy hotel rooms, they park their cars, all this kind of stuff, and it generates revenue. Well, don't forget, when this big iron ends, you know, lands at the Rock Hill, York County Airport, they're buying fuel, and you think you're paying a lot for gas? What is it? What's jet fuel run these days, buddy?
Jet fuel is actually less than aviation fuel, believe it or not. Oh yeah.
Right now,
I think the last time I checked, it's probably somewhere around $6 a gallon.
$6 a gallon.
Yeah, for jet fuel, and then for the aviation fuel for the single engine piston aircraft, you're looking at closer to $6.50, $6.75 a gallon. Yeah, it's generally always higher. If you remember back, like, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, when diesel was cheaper than unleaded fuel, that's kind of how it is. In relation to, you know, aviation in terms of fuel.
Whoa. Well, pardon my rudeness, but let's tell everybody a little bit about Stephen Gould.
Where do I start?
I see.
No, I mean, I've been here now for going on 12 years.
Hard to believe.
Yeah. I mean, where I live now locally, I've been in that house longer than anywhere I've been my entire life. So I do still have, I think, 3 more years to go before I have officially been in South Carolina longer than any other state. So then at that point, I'll be able to officially call myself a South Carolinian. I started off at Florida Institute of Technology, got my degree in aviation management there. First airport job and operations was in Sikorsky Memorial Airport up in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And then went out to McKinney, Texas, and was operations manager there for about 2.5 years before coming here in June of 2013. So it's been fun.
I know I'm prejudiced, but I want to ask, in terms of facilities, general aviation aircraft facilities, how do we stack up with, let's say, the rest of the state of South Carolina?
Rest of the state, I mean, we are growing significantly. We are the second busiest general aviation airport in the state. We have the second most base airport as base aircraft at our airport. We're now only the second one to have over 200 based aircraft in the state, as well as the Charlotte region. The only ones that have more than us are Concord and Greenville Downtown Airport. But we are, we're growing. We're building hangars, putting places for aircraft to park. But now our focus has turned towards, you know, providing places for heavier iron to be able to base here, bring in that tax revenue, that tax base, bring in the economic generation in terms of the aircraft that need to call home. We have plenty of jets in the area that would be here in a heartbeat if they had a place to be, if they had a place to store them. But we don't have that, so that's what we're looking to do right now.
All right, we're going to immediately step back and make sure that people understand we're not talking about the great big airplanes that fly in and out of the Charlotte Douglas Airport.
That's correct.
We're talking about private jets.
That's
corporate
right.
Corporate jets.
Correct. Right. Things that generate jobs, that help create jobs, help you know, the economic value of the community, bringing in, you know, all those dollars, whether it's direct impacts, indirect impacts. I mean, it's very significant. The state of South Carolina typically does an economic impact study on all the airports in South Carolina every 10 years, and we're coming up on them to, they're about to start that process again pretty soon, probably within the next year. And the last time we did it was using data from 2017 with the report coming out in 18, and our direct economic impact of the airport of the airport on the community was $40.5 million. Now this was, you know, 8 years ago now, huh. And prior to that, 10 years prior to that, it was only like $6.5 million. And you saw the jump just in 10 years prior. If you can imagine how much more significant it is now with the growth that we've seen over the past 5 years and what we're continuing to do. I mean, we have some pretty big stuff lined up in terms of additional job creation, like really good paying jobs that are going to be coming here soon, and then other things in terms of, you know, bringing in that tax base, the aircraft that are going to be calling home. And it's not those aircraft, they're not flying, you know, every day, you know.
They
might make, you know, one trip a week, every 2 weeks, something like that. But it's here on the wheels on the ground. And when it's here, that's a lot of money that comes into the city, the county, and the schools.
Yeah. And when you talk about creating more opportunity for them to get here, we're talking about hangars that are big enough to store these airplanes, and you've got some of that in the works.
That's correct. Yeah. And believe it or not, I foresee within the next 5, maybe 7 years, we're actually going to be out of land in terms of being able to develop. It's a good problem to have, but, you know, then we got to start thinking about, you know, how do we improve our existing facilities? How do we change up the layout to make it beneficial, make it work the right way for the way our airport is utilized? There's all kinds of cool things. There's even our flight school. I call them new, but they started up 4 years ago. ACES Flight School, and I believe you may have had Kevin Kaiser on here with you talking about it. But, you know, that company has grown so much so that 2021 they started with 2 aircraft. They're up to 14. They've kind of stopped increasing their fleet until their hangar is completed, which is supposed to be done in the middle of May. And once that happens, they're then working on the process of adding another aspect to their flight program, which is going to be partnering with Winthrop to actually create a flying degree, the flight program out of Winthrop University.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
That is great because, you know, Clover High School now has a program.
It'd be a huge pipeline.
Huge pipeline. Clover High School over to Winthrop University. And one of the biggest demands out there in the world today is for more pilots.
Oh, yeah.
Because FAA has got restrictions on how old you can be. Mm-hmm. 65, I think, is where it is.
I think that's where it is right now, yep.
And by 65, no matter what your health is, you have to get out of the cockpit,
yep.
Period. So all of a sudden, we've got a lot of demand for pilots. And as a result, pilots are making more money than they ever have.
Oh, those airlines are
hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Stupid money to just pull people in off the street and go through their training program to get you into their cockpits. It's outrageous. Back when I was in school, you know, it would have taken me 5 to 7 years to get where you can get in less than a year right now. So I tell any of the young guys, any of the young kids that have an itch to be a pilot, to do it. I mean, it's a really good career. You get to travel, see all kinds of places. I mean, the schedule can be taxing, especially if, you know, when you're in a relationship and stuff like that. You know, you have to be able to handle stuff like that. You know, where you're gone, you know, a few days out of the week every week. But I mean, the money is there. It's unbelievable. I mean, these pilots, like, you know, 22-year-olds getting pulled into the into the airlines, they're making more than I am right out of college if they get in, you know.
Absolutely.
It's unbelievable.
And some of these international pilots, They're making several hundred thousand dollars
a
year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, several hundred thousand. Okay. So that's a good career path, and I'm glad to see, you know, what Clover High School is doing.
Yep.
And if something were to materialize at Winthrop University through this aviation training company out there, that'd be fabulous. That'd be fabulous. Okay. So let's step back here. We now, at the airport, have basically everything that a modern-day flyer would want to have. Is that an overstatement?
No, that's fair to say. Okay. And we've actually even added additional services since I started 12 years ago.
Such as?
We have a maintenance company full-time on the field now. It's Vortex Aircraft Services. They're in the process of finishing up their first hangar, first of two large hangars, and their actual focus is on jet aircraft maintenance, but they do everything. They even have a mobile unit that services other of our tenants that have, the single-engine aircraft that are smaller. but they've created a pretty big presence on the field. They've already, they're leasing or renting another hangar temporarily until their one that's under construction is completed, and they've rotated out three jets just this week.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And then, of course, you've got what used to be known as SkyTech. Is it still called SkyTech?
Currently, but it's probably going to be changing by next year. But they haven't officially announced what they're going to do, what they're going to change it to, or when it'll officially take place, because there's some things that come in terms of certifications with the FAA and things like that when it comes to a name change. But it is owned by Pilatus.
Right.
Pilatus is, the Swiss-made aircraft that's manufactured overseas. So
everybody should have a Pilatus.
It's a great aircraft. But they, they made a business decision to purchase, to buy out SkyTech, who'd been the longest running service provider for their product over 40-something years. And that deal was done about a year and a half ago. And Pilatus is making some big moves in the States now, where they're doing a huge expansion down in Florida. They took over their service facilities out in Atlanta, and now they also have control of their products here in Rock Hill and then up in Maryland as well.
And I'm sure they're watching with great interest this tariff debate that's going on right now, because this is a Swiss company, and they make their airplanes in Switzerland and bring them on over here to sell them.
And I don't know if you saw, the EU just made approvals to jump up their tariffs.
That's all part of the game. Yeah. It's all part of the game.
Yeah.
They're working with the deal maker. We'll see what happens. So right now, when we talk about the second largest number of based aircraft, based aircraft means people are parking them here overnight. They're here all the time.
Yeah. And
this is their home.
Correct. It's not that they're just here overnight. It's, they have a permanent basing here. They're not, they may fly to other places, but they're wheels on the ground at our airport the majority of the year, whether they live here or not.
And so people understand airplanes, people who own airplanes pay taxes on the airplanes.
They do.
They pay taxes on the hangars.
Yep.
They buy city services, electricity, water, whatever. I mean, it's just like owning a home.
Yep.
It's another one. So the number of airplane hangars for the small planes has grown considerably here in the last 12 to 18 months?
Yeah, pretty much.
We're up to how many now?
Ooh, we're up to, in terms of the small hangars, like the T hangars and whatnot, I think it's around a 130. So like this latest one that just completed, it was a two-phase project. The first phase was done back in January of last year, and then the second phase just finished last month. That added 51 additional units.
51.
Yeah, 51. And that was in addition to, or that's in regards to, all those were T-hangers minus eight of them. Eight of them were either four small box hangers and four medium-sized box hangers.
So is there any more what we call small hangar development that's either going to happen?
Not T-hanger-wise, but in terms of something that could market towards, your small to mid-size jet aircraft, we do have another project that's going to be breaking ground sometime this year. We're just they're going through the permitting process right now because it comes with a new taxi lane that we have to build, and that's going to have three additional 65 by 65 in size hangars. Wow. Those are big enough to hold a PC-12 or a King Air, things like that. And then two other hangars that are one's just over 10,000 square feet of space, and then the other one is just under 11,000 square feet. So you know, it's a market towards the jet aircraft.
So these will be built on the terminal side of the airport or on the other side?
Correct, on the terminal side. So it's we have a big open field right between just on the south side of the terminal itself. It's been, you know, vacant for ever, essentially. But we have other hangar developments going on just a little bit beyond that. You know, we demolished our old original terminal building a few years back.
Big double one.
Yeah, and so in that area, we got some of those hangars, including Aces Flight School and Vortex. And then this other one will be taking up that that field right there. So pretty much all of our larger, you know, commercial size hangars are going to be geared for the west side of the airport.
So, of course, the biggest project that everybody's wanted to do for the last, 20 years has been to extend that runway by mm-hmm. another 1,000 feet.
Yep.
Not to accommodate large commercial airplanes coming out of Charlotte. No. It's just to accommodate the corporate jets. During the summertime, when it's really hot as Hades around here,
yep,
you got to have more runway to take off and land with full loads of fuel.
That's right. And so, and part of that, you know, in terms of being eligible for the funding, that's the biggest part, is we have to justify the funding from the FAA, because it's a significant cost to be able to make that happen. We need a total of 500 operations annually by aircraft that actually need a longer runway. It's kind of like the chicken and the egg. You know, well, why are aircraft going to use it if you know, it's not long enough for them, you know, but there's other options there. But the thing is, they would if they had a place to store their aircraft and they knew that it was coming as long as their aircraft qualified for that. Because with those numbers, then we have to, you know, start the process. And it's from start to finish, you know, it'd be about 5-year process because we have to do a justification study that would then have to be approved by the FAA. And then once it's approved, then we're now eligible. Then you have to start the environmental study. You got to do the design. I mean, it's a multi-year study. And then in terms of, you know, when it comes to construction aspect, the FAA now is, and whenever it comes to construction projects, it's design year one, gap year two, and then construction year three. So just to construct it itself is going to take, you know, at least 3 years. But there's a lot of dirt that has to be moved, a lot has to be brought in, there's a whole mess of things that have to take place.
And I would imagine there also have to be a lot of politicking to make sure that we got the funding.
I mean, we would be able to have the funding because at that point it's only 5% of the cost that's split 50-50 between the city and the county.
No, I'm not talking about the county. I'm talking about the Fed. Because there's such competition for money.
That's true, but they know it's been on our radar for, you know, decades. And if we're eligible for the funding, then at that point we would have the justification to actually make it move forward. And I don't think you'd actually have to do too much politics, believe it or not, because they know how much activity, how much growth we've had, and the amount of activity that we've been performing with, that it would be pretty easy to make it accomplishable.
Yeah, I think all they have to do is take a look at Charlotte. I mean, they're building a fourth parallel runway up there at the cost of $1 billion. $1 billion. Crazy.
Yep.
Crazy. Okay. All right, we do have to take our mid-program break. When we come back, we're going to tell you about the Come See Me activity at the Rock Hill York County Airport, which is called the Tour to York. Our broadcast today being made possible by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, share with Founders. Like Emporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy. Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. So I don't need to tell this guy what goes on here at Substation 2 because he knows. He's been here. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week between 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. And he just looked around at me. If he does this and he recites it with us, he gets a free cookie, but he's not paying any attention. He's looking at his phone. Okay, at the count of three, let's tell him how it's done. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
You missed out on a cookie. Next time.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
What's hot at Substation 2? The new hot beef brisket sandwich. Brisket is smoked tender beef sliced to order, served hot and delicious, and gardened your way. This is a limited time offer, so titillate your taste buds today with a hot beef brisket sandwich at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Stream TV from Comporium is more than just TV. It's accessing all your favorite shows and movies. From here, in there, up there somewhere, here too, we won't tell. It's restarting shows mid-show. It's TV that learns the difference between what you like and what you love. It's what you want, when you want it, where you want it. So yeah, we're more than your internet company. We're your smart TV, just got a whole lot smarter company.
When it comes to matters of the heart, you want someone who understands you. And that's our mission at Piedmont's Heart and Vascular Center. We are the only cardiovascular hospital in York County providing comprehensive care from diagnosis to recovery. Our team includes experienced cardiologists, cardiovascular surgeons, and nurses, all dedicated to keeping your heart healthy. Cardiac care with advanced technology close to home. That's Piedmont Medical Center. Learn more online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com.
Love our subs? Want to find the fastest way to get here? Just say, hey Siri, take me to Substation 2 in Rock Hill.
Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, and it gets 4 stars on Yelp.
Even faster, order online at mysubstationii.com. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
Back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Stephen Gould is with us today, director of the Rock Hill York County Airport, a job he's had for a dozen years, soon to become a certified South Carolina resident. It happens. I've been here long enough, I think, you know, I'm a certified South Carolina. So the Tour de York, interesting concept. I know this is your baby to show off the airport. Has it always been coordinated with Come See Me?
No. This is actually the first year we're doing it. Now, it's not officially on their list.
Oh, I know that.
You know, but like I tried to get it done that way, but it kind of time got ran away from me. But regardless, we made sure to have it in there. Cause, you know, I even got the cold shoulder from some of my state folks in the aviation world, because later this month is South Carolina Aviation Week.
Uh-huh.
And normally we've tried to have that event in there. And well, I kind of, you know, took the home the home crowd.
Just remind them to come see me. Is the state's largest, oldest, all-volunteer festival.
That's awesome. I actually didn't know that. That's great.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we are kind of being a part of Come See Me. And so it's this Saturday, the 12th. Part of it is, you know, the launch time is at 10:30. And what we do is, and we advertise it on our Facebook page and things like that to show the different highlighted, you know, points of interest, as we call it. But we have a designated route where they take off from the airport and fly throughout the entire county, with the exception of, you know, deep into Fort Mill and TKK, just because of where Charlotte's airspace is at.
Right.
So we try to stay clear of that. But, you know, we'll start off, fly up to downtown Clover, right over top Clover High, and then make a south turn, fly over the York Airport over there, and then make a turn at downtown York, fly Route 5 all the way back over top of Northwestern High School, then over downtown Rock Hill and Fountain Park area. Then we make our turn down at the quarry, which a lot of people may not even know the quarry even exists. Uh-huh. I didn't know it was until actually we took my first flight, and I was like,
right there at Port
Royal.
What a gem.
What a gem. I mean, because it looks so super cool, you know, nice and blue and teal type of color. So make the turn there and then fly right up, right on the east side of the Galleria Mall area.
Uh-huh.
And then straight to Catawba Ridge High School, and then make their turn, fly over top BMX complex. And then I know there's an event at Winthrop Lakes kind of close to that time frame, like around 10:30, 11 o'clock-ish. And part of our route is to fly over top of Miracle Park, so we're making sure we fly directly over Winthrop Coliseum and Winthrop Lakes and Miracle Park area. And that's our last highlighted point before we make our turn and come back to the airport.
So that tour to York for each plane is a different period of time.
Correct.
Based on engines.
Yeah, so we line up the faster aircraft first because we don't want any aircraft overtaking another. That because that causes a major safety issue. So there's a kind of natural separation that happens as they're each launching. But we start off the faster ones, and it gets slower as you get to the back. And so as they're taking off, they kind of end up separating themselves and having about a good mile of separation between each other. And they're flying at about 1,000 feet above ground. And we try to make sure we fly over, you know, highly densely populated areas. You know, I came up with the idea back in 2020 when COVID happened or first started, and we couldn't invite anybody from the public out to the airport during that time. So I was trying to figure out a way, well, to still get the public involved with the airport and, you know, the great facilities that we have. So I said, you know, well, we can't bring them to the airport. Let's bring the airport to them. And gathered up a lot of my tenants and then even others from other airports. I have a guy flying in from Charleston for this event. And it's just to highlight general aviation, kind of showcase, you know, different types of aircraft that you may see in a given day out there. And
time of day this is going to happen?
The first aircraft launches at 10:30. So depending on where you are in that route.
Right.
You may not see your first aircraft. Like if you're at Miracle Park, you're probably not going to see your first aircraft until 10:45-ish, 10:50.
Last plane will launch about when?
To get all of it, we have about 30 aircraft lined up right now. We may get a couple more. By the time the last, it'll take about five, maybe. It'll be less than 10 minutes to get all the aircraft off the ground.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's pretty quick. We have guys that have helped with the planning and the briefings from the safety aspect, from the ground level, who have been phenomenal for me, done great work. I couldn't pull off this event without the guys and the gals, actually, too, that are, you know, part of the aviation community at the airport.
Sure.
It's a huge support that we have out there.
So we get everybody off the ground, let's say by 10:45 or 10:50, something like that.
Yep.
And what, an hour later, it's all over with.
Yep, pretty much.
Everybody's back. So look up at the sky, you'll see lots of planes flying around, and that's what it's all about.
And depending on where you are in regards to the route, and to find the route itself, you know, you can go on, like I said, go on our Facebook page, look at the event, and I have a map of it, and you can see a really good view of them within a mile on either side of where the route's at.
Right. So. Okay, very quickly. You've done a great job over the years of having public events out there, you know, after COVID.
Yep.
What's in store for 2025, if anything?
For 2025, so we still have the our annual 5K, Fit to Fly 5K. That will be taking place in the second Saturday of September. I think it's the 12th.
Okay.
We'll have something else come up. We may have a groundbreaking ceremony at some point, but in terms of the public events itself, we may try to throw in our FOD walk again at some point. It's foreign object debris where you basically walk the entire grounds of the airport.
Which is cool, too.
But pretty much the 5K and the Tour de York are two big ones.
So what's coming up big at the airport that we don't know about right now? That you're really excited about seeing materialize?
It's the big developments that we have in the works for the North property that's still available for development. You know, the current construction projects that we have underway, we're expanding our apron space. We're adding probably about 30, 35 additional tie-down spots to allow us to kind of open up the center section in front of the terminal building. We're going to be doing we're going to have our ALP, our airport layout plan, updated at some point in the next couple of years. We're redoing our parking lot for the terminal building itself. Maybe at some point we'll look to expand the terminal again. We're going to need the space.
All right. Well, I'll tell you, it's time for us to say goodbye anyway. Stephen, thank you for being with us. Appreciate you being here. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax You with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And, of course, here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, what we do all the time is fresh subs and salads, and we do it 6 days a week. We do it. And for those who are hiding behind the thing, we've been fine all along. Here we go. At the count of three, one, two, three. How do we do it?
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, 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 garden.
Okay, have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.